Welcome to the House of Lerulemons, where you always will receive a double helping of justice and truth. Come on in. She's so glad to have you with us tonight. Tonight is a anything goes night for Mr. Larry, because I'm going to talk on a number of subjects that I feel need to be dealt with and talked on and get some things straightened out. But we're going to deal with a few preliminaries, as I call them. First of all, in the death of Ryan Strain, I stated that it was kind of suspicious with the card, his credit card being found under a bridge or whatever near a body of water, river, with no body, no wallet, anything like that. And the coroner has listed, as far as I know of, has listed the death as presumably drowning, or that's where he's leaning to. New evidence that has come in has stated that the body that they have found of Mr. Strain, and they had his funeral today, I believe, I saw on the internet, stated that when his body was found that he had no pants on and he had no boots on. He was wearing cowboy boots. And of course they said, well, he didn't have his wallet. Of course his wallet's going to be in his pants. So I'm wondering, how did the credit card jump out of the wallet to jump on to dirt under a bridge or whatever? It's not going to travel, even if water or a wave rained in, it's going to be close to the water edge. It's not going to be inland. That means someone tossed it there or placed it there or had it all the time and said, look what I found. That's why I say, I hate to say it, but the people that found the card, they would have to be removed from being thought of as, and that would be anybody. If my son had found the car, or a daughter, or whatever, I have to say, well, where were you on the night of so-and-so, where were you doing down there so you could find the card? And if they got a good explanation, then you take them off that list. But they decided not to take them off the list because they never were put on a list, as far as I know of. Maybe they are being watched and followed. I thought that the call that was made to someone else, I believe a relative or so, instead of calling the police department saying, I found the card and so forth, was acting. Bad acting, as you see most people doing on the internet who are not good actors. But they are kind of corny and try to show that they are really excited or afraid, and it's neither one. You know, they're bullshitting you. Sheesh. So I thought that the authorities need to look at the fact that there's a possibility of the fact that that was what happened. But they did not. They refused to look at what's facing them. You know, your boots, cowboy boots, are tight on your feet. You're not going to lose cowboy boots. Probably somebody's wearing those boots. The same people that took the credit card and took that are wearing the boots. If they would kept these people under surveillance, and maybe they could see that one of their men friend are wearing the boots. That's why you do surveillance. That's why you do an investigation, research. The boots are gone. The boots are not in the river. Not, that's why I said, man, I wouldn't wear them. And then so they decided, well, I go and toss them in the river along with the body and so forth. But one thing they said about the body, they said that there was no water in the lungs, which means Mr. Strain did not die of drowning. There's no way that a coroner or anybody can come up and say that that's the mode of death, was drowning, when there's no water in the lungs. So the father is asking for a separate autopsy. We were the first one and only ones that brought these facts to you. The other facts came today and we're giving you those facts. And I support that 100%. I support a complete investigation, as I stated, should have been done. You thank the people for bringing it forward. You question them. Then you watch. Was the card, credit card, attempted to use it somewhere, or was it used by anyone? Do you see these people around at the time the credit card is used, or their car? That's how you do an investigation. But to say, well, no, it's closed, case closed. I'm saying, what? Ashish. I wanted to start off with that before we start off with the major news. So you all are talking about, and that is the bridge that fell in Baltimore, the Key Bridge. And I warned you about those things. I warned you about the construction of the bridges, but also those big barges and so forth trying to transverse through those little openings and so forth. And if you watch the video, the ship or the barge turns into the pillar. If it had remained going straight, it would have probably gone through the opening, but it hit the pillar. Workmen were on the bridge at the time doing potholes, filling potholes in. And of course, we have casualties. Two that fell with their friends. I believe it was six now dead, something like that, they said. And two alive. The others are in the cars and so forth because they're sitting in the cars taking a break at the time. So when the barge hit, they went down with the cars into the water. And all that concrete and all that steel, they probably couldn't get out of the cars, even if they knew how to swim and to open the doors or break a window and get out with all that steel and sit and paste and concrete. They needed to have turf escorting those ships. So it could, if it did nothing but try to push it back out the way, or where it just maybe straight the pillar and not hit it fleshed on. All these things could have been done properly. It should have been put in place by the Department of Transportation. Secretary Buttigieg, who seemed to be the most active secretary besides Secretary of State and Defense in the Biden administration, maybe Attorney General now a little. Those are things that he should have saw that happen with other bridges and other situations, that if he wanted to take the job, he should have known, I'm glad to deal with bridges, waterways, ports, harbors. So we're going to get off that right now and get on to another case. And that's the case in Haiti. I was the only one that talked about Haiti, basically. I told you what needed to be done. Now, I think President Biden said he's going to send $16 million worth of equipment to the police department of Haiti. Do you even know who's in charge of the police department of Haiti? The president is gone. They haven't said anybody as vice president or even a general is in charge. It's just Mr. Barbecue. So what you're doing is probably sending $16 million worth of equipment to Mr. Barbecue. While you playing, if the police can't deal with them now and couldn't deal with them while there were street gangs and so forth, while the president of Haiti was there, $16 million worth of equipment is going to make them probably turn the equipment over to Mr. Barbecue, just like Fidel Castro did in Cuba, where we gave him all the aid and comfort against the government of Cuba. And once he got in, he says, I'm communist, sheesh. And I'm keeping everything for myself. We're not going to have democratic elections, sheesh. As I told you and promised you, what we're going to do. He and Che Guevara and others. Well, these people are going to be Che Guevara's and Fidel Castro's and Raul Castro's by saying, yeah, send us $16 million. To what address you going to send $16 million worth of equipment? You could even take the equipment that was left in Afghanistan out. Sheesh, that was left for them. Millions and millions of dollars worth of equipment that was, some of it brand new. You didn't even try to remove. Now you're going to send this there, not knowing the destination that you're going to send it to? You don't even know who's in charge. So to say we're going to send a certain dollar amount, that's kind of foolish. Mr. Burger is, or Barbecue is waiting on it. I know I would. And I let you behind send it on in before I confiscate it for my own. Which is what he's probably is planning to do. They interviewed him today, I saw him there. He's really confident with his gangs and so forth. And he says it's not going to be any government in Haiti unless the gang members are able to have their say in the government. Ain't that something? You're going to have kids running around with Uzis and automatic weapons, firing it in the air and firing it at people and beating up people and taking their food rations and so forth. Barefoot, you know, children brigades. Now you're going to make them leaders and diplomats? Who in the hell is on a gang is capable of being a cabinet member? Are capable of running a commission or a department or the courts? They're not even capable of being a police officer, no less head of the police department. So I think they need people that know what they're doing in the State Department and the White House. President Biden had a gala with President Clinton, and President Obama that raised millions of dollars for his campaign. And we're saying that's the way to do it. Solidarity. But don't just be solidarity and you can't give him some ideas of what he needs to be doing and need to be saying and how he needs to be conducting himself. Of course, he's the president, but you were president first, so you know, and you dealt with all the things he's going through. Even trying to impeach him. They impeached Clinton and tried to impeach Obama. So to know how to deal with that stress, don't let it get to you. And then former President Donald Trump, what is he doing? He's attending the wake of funeral of a slain police officer. And I knew something was crooked about that when he did that. He comes right off of the funeral for the police officer and now talking about Biden wasn't there. And if Biden has sent any condolences and so forth, how do he know? Why should he even worry about that? If he went to give his condolences, that's all he need to worry about, and then talk about how to make sure that there's no more widows and orphans from police officers. By the way, we just heard that a police woman in DeKalb, I believe Illinois, lost her life for traffic violation. Truck ran into the back of her cruiser. Been on the force, I think, 3 years or something like that, young lady, but now she died. Of course, it's always going to be death on the police department. And you get your condolences. But this reminds me at the State of the Union address where he had, Trump had the black individual who I believe was a colonel at that time who was a member of the Redbirds or the Red Tails, the Tuskegee Airmen. And he was there with his grandson and they had him stand up. And he was there to use his blackness and his heroism and his history for his history. His history, past and even present, has never been great toward people of color. But here he is having him stand up and everybody's clapping and then he's giving him these types of accolades. And as I said, I don't know whether he should even have attended his president call, so maybe he feels that if his president called, no matter who it is, he must go. But this smacks of that. At the same time, he was doing that with that gentleman and his grandson. He was disrespecting Gold Star mothers and wives of servicemen killed in battle, black servicemen, insulting them, trying to match smart remarks with them. And he said that any American servicemen, that, especially in World War II, that lost their lives were suckers. And now we have heard the fact that he told Putin that he needs to take over Europe like he has done the Ukraine. And he's there shaking hands and kissing on Kim. But at the same time, he's there. I wonder if he shed any tears over the coffin. I'd like to know what type of ceremony. Did he bow his head? Did he do the sign of the cross? I mean, literally, what did he do when he went there? Did he have a floral arrangement sent from him and his family? It'd be kind of bad to have it sit from the campaign. It should come from him personally. Did he even do that? He's talking about Trump. There's so many police officers killed here in the United States. We just had a shooting from a police officer here this week. shot at man that's supposed to be trying to run him over. And I think the man was okay, took him to the hospital. Then from the hospital, took him to the lockup. But to try to put on Biden that he's a bad man because he did not attend a funeral that he wasn't invited to attend, and they didn't say he was welcome to come to. And of course, he should have sent word about his condolences officially for the nation as well as for himself. But these are the things that we have to deal with Trump and Biden. So now we got a third party. We got the party leading with Robert Kennedy Jr. and the wife of, ex-wife of the founder of Google. And as a philanthropist and giving money away, that makes her qualified for federal office to hold the vice presidency and then maybe the presidency. Having money doesn't make it that qualified. Here you got Robert Kennedy Jr., the son of a man who has ran for president, the nephew of a man who was president, and whose uncle also ran for president, talking about Edward, who nobody really is wanting for the presidency, not even his family. They're talking about he's taking the vote away from Biden to give it to Trump, and they thought that he shouldn't run. But he decided to run anyway, anywho, as I said. So this is going to be interesting of how they really do in this country, in this world, and the parties. The former head of the Republican Party was hired in by a television network. I didn't thought it was going to work. Some of the major people with the network already did, as I said, should do. They start complaining. Why would you bring this person that insulted us, lied to us, was there with the insurrection and the denier that the election was fair and won by President Biden to sit with us as a colleague? And so many of them, black and white, male and female, big names, stood up until it made the network say, well, I tell you what, we're going to take back, you know, CNN, we're going to take back our job offer from you. And now she's going to sue. But it should never have been given. And we're going to talk about something along that line with some other comments that we're talking about later on in this conversation of anyways, Ashish. But that's how people don't think. Critical analytical thinking should have told you it wasn't going to work. It wasn't the right fit. But they did it anyway. So then you got to make adjustments. Which others were willing to make those adjustments to start skinning and grinning in this person's face that they couldn't stand. And going to talk behind her back. And know that she's probably talking behind their back and laughing all the way to the bank. On what they built. So this is the same thing they have done. I look at all these white reporters who... One died today. I don't know what station it was now or network. But here I am with my qualifications. I never was hired in one day. Got all the education, got licensed and everything else from the FCC, lifetime license. And I was never hired in even probationary period. They find a way to keep me off and keep other black people off. But at the same time, they hire people like Oprah Winfrey as a young teenage girl with no qualification whatsoever. Say, okay, you're now on the radio. back where that's all it was. She was just a beauty queen or a young kid. I don't think she was in radio class. And they hired her in. Now, how many black men and women with credentials went there and asked that same radio station for that position they gave to Winfrey? Technically, we should not have Oprah Winfrey at all. If they had done what they're supposed to do, it probably would have been somebody filled that position who were better qualified. And she probably would be the first to admit that. That's not an insult to her. That's just common sense. And so I could never get on any of these stations here, even though I was the one that they listened to every day. They listened to me for years, every day. You go into any business or any office at noontime, you hear that program on, that music coming on, theme song. And if I'm sitting in that office, people want to know, where's the little colored boy that calls in? Because I made talk radio, the little colored boy. And I was able to make a program that nobody called in, so they had to play records all through it. The most popular program on the air where people were waiting to get on to talk, especially after I spoke. So they fired one host that said some bad things to me because they thought I was going to stop calling. I didn't like it. And they hired another guy in instead of giving me the position because I was on the show anyway. It was my show. They put this white man in that position, brought him up. I spoke to him the first day he was here. I talked to him. The man stayed on the air for what? I think something like 45 years before he retired. Ain't that a bit? All those years, this guy is on the radio. That should have been my job. It should have been me retiring. He should never even got the job. I was doing it anyway. And then I stayed and kept calling and kept the program going on because it was valuable. Well, I got tired of being the fool. I stopped calling. And once I stopped calling and dealing with it, other people stopped calling. People stopped listening. Sponsors stopped sponsoring. They had to take it off the air. He couldn't carry it on by himself. And then he has a number of scandals and so forth. I had zero scandals. So they arrest me for lying, a lot of baloney, but never I done anything or gypped anybody, as he supposedly, I think, gypped a business partner allegedly and did other things like that. But that's black men and women. We never get the opportunity that I'm going to talk about. You know, just a few weeks ago, the black man won the for the movie, and he stated, "Why are you paying $200 million for a movie to be made when you could pay 10 movies for $20 million apiece?" Why would you want to pay that? That's what I said all along. It's a little ridiculous. Spread the honey. Spread it out a little bit. They don't believe in that. So now you got them giving one person. I started the podcasting, you can say. Nobody will sponsor me. Nobody will give me any time of day. They take somebody who did not do anything at podcasting, Joe Rogan, let's call him, and give him $100 million. Did he really need $100 million to talk at his house or whatever on a microphone? Hell, I think he would have did it for $10 million. That means you could have gave me $10 million since I started it up. I could have gave others $10 million. But these powers that be don't understand those types of things. And I saw tonight, there's, well, yesterday, with the mukbang, that's the sloppy eating type of thing, especially with the seafood. Young black woman, now she's living in a mansion. Because I pointed out about the mukbang to the media and to the people. And I go on their site and I talk and speak. So she became popular in her little bungalow with her husband and her children. One boy is gay, supposedly, and one boy got this black couple. One son has a white girlfriend, and I think they may be in the dumps or whatever now. But there's a lot of things going on there. So they all get together and they chow down on food. No skills, no talent. They don't cook anything. Nobody's a chef. Nobody's a food scientist. They have a big bowl of slop, look like it, that they dip lobster tails and things in. First of all, I said I was going to do a seafood boil. I never heard anybody doing a seafood boil, black folks, really. Never heard of them. But I just got a taste for one, so I said on the air I was going to make me a seafood boil. Next thing I know, every black person is making a seafood boil. But they don't even know what they're doing. These are people that's on the air, and they got their own show and done maybe 40 or 50 shows or 20 shows, and too cheap to buy a pair of crackers to crack the shells of snow crabs or whatever, you know, or know how to properly eat lobster or eat crayfish or eat shellfish like clams and oysters. They don't know those things. They don't have any scissors to cut maybe into the shell of a lobster. But they are receiving sponsors. These people aren't expert in their fields, even on eating. They don't cook none of it themselves. I cook my own. I just got through with a seafood boil this week after being sick for some time. And, oh, I tore it up. It was so good. But I'm qualified. I'm a chef. I'm a master chef. I have helped formulate a college program at the same college that got rid of me. I helped them to get their food service program the way it's supposed to be and start some others, such as mortuary science, podiatry, and also wine making, wine service. All that was done by my suggestions or my working directly with the dean of the department. But now, with all those qualifications, and as I said, making food products that chains sell nationally because they see me eating it at lunchtime, do you think they will offer me a deal? This woman today talking about, she's in a mansion now talking about, I just had my chairs custom made, ordered. Ain't this a bitch? Custom made chairs. Custom made chandeliers and other things. And say that I'm not happy with this, I'm going to have a designer come in. A designer? What were you doing last week? You didn't even have a job. And what were your husband doing? Now, all of a sudden, both of you are experts enough that you got that type of a living. And most of the people now in the black community don't like it. Oh, they pissed. They're really pissed because they saying, what the hell is you getting all that? And the only thing you is it had gravy run down your chin, smacking your lips, talking with your mouth full. Right. And then talk about your business, what's happening, and somebody, and so forth. One mother or daughter doing the mukbang, they sit there and talk about some woman going to come over to the house and fight the mother, like the mother is some child or some hoochie in the street. And they talk about they got a sponsor giving them $3,000 or so. What sponsor would pay for such like that? Just like paying the woman the other day said her boyfriend cheated on her. So she did 50 shows of her boyfriend cheated on her. So she gets an agent with the top agency. These white men pay for that. Now, today I saw on the internet, Tara Hicks, they were talking about Bronx Tale with Robert De Niro. And Tara Hicks had played the young black female love interest. I call it what it was. I thought it was one of the worst movies I ever saw. A racist movie. And I thought the character is somebody I didn't like. I wouldn't want my daughter to be that way. And they were talking about, do you see the eye she gave him on the bus? First of all, that's what you call being fast. In the black community, Big Mama and Mama didn't play that. If they saw a girl looking like that, they slapped the hell out of her. Girl, you better watch your eyes. She would know that in the first place. She would be looking down, looking out the window, minding her business. But here she's on the bus by herself, flirting with strange white men. And a minor. And they're going to tell you how great it is. Because he's a gang member. The man that he emulates is a white gang member, adult gang member, that's doing a lot of dirt in the black community, that's mad at the black gangs. You know, so Robert De Niro playing the bus driver father, trying to get his son on the straight and narrow, he's saying his son ain't worth a damn. But this black girl wants him. And then they come with this little thing, say, then open the door case, just like I was talking about the door at the Titanic, whether a young lad could get on the door and ride with the young lady. You know, they were acting like they could fly when they were on the front of the ship, the stern of the ship. And I said that it didn't make any sense. And they just sold that for, I think, $800,000. It's not even the door. It's the facade off a wall or something like that. Well, that's the same thing now. They came up with this movie, A Bronx Tale, saying, now, if she opens the door for you, it's love. I said, who come up with that idea? Who said that was a thing? This white writer, so you'd be surprised. How many black women actually think that is a test of love in the black community? White women don't say that. I've never heard a white woman say that. Black women think that is something that they need to imitate. And I sit there rolling my eyes. What would she do if the door locked but not reach over and open the door if she got manners? That has nothing to do with love. They got manners and not lazy. And sheesh. If you're going to ride, you at least do that. And probably ain't going to pay no gas. Do you hear me? But the things that they show on there, I know you're probably watching the ball games. It's March Madness. But these things I thought I had to come on to say to you today, because they were very important things to say and point out these facts. And now they're still asking the question, is there racism in the United States? Talking about a civil war, new civil war. Black men having knees put on their necks till they're dead in public. When people are asking you, could you get off his neck and let it breathe? All the things that happen to us, they come in our house and shoot us in our own homes and say that we've done something wrong. Even females, young girls. We got to put up with that. Then they say, well, is there racism? Why should you even try to explain the fact of racism? Donald Trump's whole campaign is based on poor white folks. it's named for them. I won't call them the name that they call us, but it's named for them. They call themselves that name, but I just call them poor white folks. You don't see any suits hardly at a Donald Trump function. By the way, the appellate court have lowered his bond from $400 million to $175 million. And he said he can get that money up now. One way or another, he still got to go to trial. The bond was supposed to make sure it didn't run. So all this stuff was just a facade to give him $400 million and give him all these days and so forth. And so he's get, I think, 10 days to come up with it. But Donald Trump has always showed that he didn't like people of color. He was a white man that probably, I like to know about the servants that served him, his nannies and his people there that worked as gardeners and whatever, chauffeurs and so forth. How did he treat them? We know how he treated others. So he really didn't have love in his heart for people of color. Now they're saying, what do we think about racism in the country? It's always existed and it's going to still be here. That's why I'm right now can't retire and say I'm retiring after 45 years because of racism. With my qualifications, they would never call that white man in. I would have been given a job. That's a known fact. The same folks are trying to poison me and all this other stuff, shoot me and so forth, and never find the gunman and won't hire me as a police officer and won't come help me when they won't let me get on the bus and go home as an old man with my groceries. The same community put on white officers there that's making these young girls have sex with them. They've been convicted of it because some of the girls tell on them. Even have sex in the courthouse with the judge. These are things that's been verified, not me just saying it. So officers that had 20 years experience in but still can't pass any examinations, can't pass the paperwork when it comes down to them passing certification. Well, I passed it every year when I took the examination and got 100% or 90-some. They may say, well, you missed this question because they didn't like the answer. They can't even come close to passing. So now the same ones that was sheriff and the mayor and deputy this and deputy that, deputy city manager, now last time I hear security guard. That's what you have done for this community. So the community never moves. The community never prospers. You have harmed yourself trying to harm me. The very people you put into a position that you could have put me in, just like I said about Oprah Winfrey, Oprah should not have gotten that job if there was somebody who had an FCC license or somebody who had gone through radio and television class and Oprah never had any. She should not have got the job. She would have just been a 16-year-old kid looking for a job. But she could have come and she could have done some office work or done something else like that or run and got the donuts and the coffee. Those white men puts our women and our children over the black men. And they do that in Africa. They got programs and so forth to help advancement. It's for the black females. No black man can put their name in for the job. They set them up in cottage industry businesses. So they may be making hats or shirts or whatever, dashikis and so forth, or medallions in their home. The children helping them. Daddy can't get that. So they go over there to try to run the black man away from his home, just like they do here in the United States. Sheesh, I'm the only one who's willing to say that. I watched that show the other day by Shirley Chisholm, that it was on. And the same quote I told you that she said about me, they had in there that Ron Dellum told her about herself. It wasn't your time. You should have waited your time. That's what she said about me. And so they had that said about her, which I didn't care for the movie, made-for-TV movie, or didn't care for her because she was a very abrasive type of a person to everybody, including her husband that evidently they divorced and she got married to another man. But none of her officials that she liked, they always get one white man that's like the savior. He comes in and go to run the whole show. Every show on a black person, there's a white person. I wonder what white person they think will be in the Larry Lamaze movie. Who is going to be the savior to come up to save me from myself? Sheesh. Is it an attorney? These attorneys won't take my case. Me being poisoned, I should right now be able to put in multi-million dollars with a lawsuit. Y'all know I was. Told you it was going to happen before it happened. And it did happen. Medical officials saw that it happened. Can I put in a suit? No. With no attorney doing it, when I'm supposed to go down and file paperwork and all this other stuff that's had to be walked through. I never filed those papers. If I did it once, I would know how to do it, but it probably could figure it out. Why should I have to figure it out? I should be able to go to an attorney, and he takes the case pro bono because he knows that you were poisoned, that you need 5 or 6 weeks worth of pain and suffering. You need to be compensated for it. But this community, you don't get that. You don't get that justice. They don't give you a single dose. I say double dose of justice and truth. They don't give you a single dose of justice and truth. They deny you your rights and then they lie to you. Sheesh. So I'm all right. I was looking at my account and so forth today. I ain't doing it as bad as I thought I was doing. I'm going to save me up something to get me a little car. And they can kiss my the bus line and so forth like that. Excuse me. And the police too. Get me a little something to ride in. Just like my friend did. If he can get it, I can get one too. But the thing is, I'll pay for mine. See, he liked to play the lottery. You can't play $50 or $60 a day on lottery and pay your car bill and pay your insurance. He would ask me, could I lend him hundreds of dollars? For that, I'm paying you a big amount more than I pay for the bus, and you want me to then pay your insurance bill or your car note. If you don't go to the filling station 2 or 3 times a day to put in a number, 3-digit and phone digits and all that kind of crap, you would have money. Even if it's not the full amount, you would have enough to keep the wolf off the door so that your car would be out in the parking lot and not back in their parking lot or the dealership. So I'm going to look out for myself. I'm going to get my own little hoopsie. It's going to be brand new. And I say, well, I can make ends meet. I'm going to start saving up. Save up for a little car. Still able to drive. Got my license. License is for a few more years. And I'll be all right. But this is what they don't like. You're self-sufficient. You can make it for yourself. So they'll pay somebody else, like I told you about these young women. They give them all that money for nothing, to produce nothing, really. You eating and got gravy on your chin, it's not a $1 million deal. I would fire them suckers if that's what they brought up to me. Here I just put this one on the payroll, boss. Oh, good. What skill level is she? What does she bring to the table? Well, she bring a big bowl of slop and some lobster tail, and she dump it and stuff drooling down her chin. And I'm, this is what's happening. And so I decided to put her on and give her a sign-up bonus of $10 million. You what? Come again now. I know you telling me what's going to make her a star on my show or on my network. Well, she likes to eat, and she eats and talk and smacks her lip and talk with her mouth full, and people complain about, why don't you get some manners? But I decided to give her that money so that she could get a mansion and get custom-made chairs. And sheesh. He'd be out of a job. You know, the baseball player with the Dodgers, Otero, his name is, from Japan, said that his interpreter, his Japanese interpreter, allegedly stole at least $4 million from him gambling. Who can you trust? Now, that was his boy. He brought him from the old country, the Bigfoot country. Here, and they couldn't get their toe in the water before he started showing his behind. Gambling. So whether the boss go pay off his debt, you know, $700 million, will he miss $4 million of it? I would. Because your stupid behind decide to go and gamble with some mobsters. I just saw one tonight, the woman, something said she got in trouble because she was playing dominoes and lost all her money. So she had to get a ride with them back because she couldn't get a bus. I don't live that type of lifestyle. Now, I like to talk about Cowboy Carter. Cowboy Carter, what did she say? Did you listen to her when she was announcing about Texas Hold'em? She said, "Don't make me get up out this chair." Now, who do you know say that? Ashish, "Don't make me get up out this chair." Then the next scene, she's got a saxophone, leaned back playing the saxophone. When have Beyonce learned how to play a sax? Maybe she plays it. I don't know. Plays for relaxation. I think she was saying something, just like Jeopardy. I believe she was giving a little shout out to Mr. Larry. The one that does say, "Don't make me get up out this chair and put on my robe. Let me fasten it up so I don't show all my royal goods." And then also that I do play the saxophone. So Cowboy Carter got Texas Hold'em, and they all talk about him because she got sampling on the song, Dolly Parton and Willie Nelson and Miss Martell, who was the first African-American female to be on the Grand Ole Opry. I think she's saying thank you to Mr. Larry for what I've done. Because I do a lot. If I had not spoken about mukbang, this woman would be still living in the same house, the same chairs from Walmart, screwing a light bulb into a light socket with no lampshade. And sheesh. With gravy running down her chin. We're going to try to do some better things for our own self. Like I said, saving the money up for the car, and do some things with this program. That's why I decided to take my health on myself and the hell with these folks. Get out and don't come back. Because you're trying to kill me and you think it's funny. If I die, I die on my own. By the way, I want to give condolences to the family of the great Louis Gossett Jr., who passed away this morning. As said that he was 87. Man who was the first African-American male to win the Best Supporting Actor Oscar. Won an Emmy for Roots. Playing Fiddler. One of the great actors in the world. You know, he played an officer and a gentleman. And just got through playing in the new movie, A Color Purple. When Fantasia and the others. As Mr. I didn't know he was played in it until they said it today. They're talking about all others. They didn't think that highly of him. Or they would mention him all along. He was the star of the show then. Over every last one of them. He was an Oscar winner. They never mention him. I never saw him interviewed. I believe he was suffering from cancer, but he passed away. So our condolences go to one of the great icons, not only black, but in Hollywood history. He come up from being a child star, playing in Raisin and the Sun, Lorraine Hansberry, Raisin and the Sun. I think he's played in a stage production and then in the movie, to a great TV and movie career. He was allowed to have a career as a black man, and he made the most of it. But then he got involved in drugs and alcohol that he had to go through rehab. Then they said somebody even said black mold, said that's probably what killed him, said because he then developed lung problem by living in black mold, probably because he couldn't pay his bills. He lived in a situation he should not have lived in. That's why you got to be able to take care of yourself. Look out for yourself. He should have had enough money to pay if there was a leak in his house to come fix his leak, paint, fumigate it. He should be with us right now. But the way that this nation treats black men, even winning an Oscar, he was still treated like he was a rookie. Worse than those young people on Nickelodeon, those black actors, young girls and boys that I told you they mother and father need to watch out for them, just like the models that went to Paris and Rome. Now they're complaining how they were treated. Almost as bad as Harvey Weinstein. Sheesh. And don't get me talking about Diddy. We're going to have to talk about that on another date. Sheesh. You know, it's just like I said, Pappy used to say. Sheesh.